You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson, here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And today is another wonderful summer day, very hot. It's been a scorcher this past week. Brett, how have you been surviving the heat wave?
So I couldn't imagine how I timed this yesterday when the rain was coming in. By the way, it was hot. I sweated. Mm-hmm. I literally pulled into my driveway and got into the garage just as it started pouring.
Wow.
I was like, I could not time that any better. It was incredible.
Similar for me too, actually. I went shopping and I took a bunch of things out of my car and had them just outside. And as soon as I got home, it started raining, so I was able to rescue everything. But exact moment, also myself, that's a coincidence.
Everything's coming up repartee.
It is. The Rapporteers are in control.
Yeah.
But yeah, these hot days and stormy nights really cause some chaos with the weather. Those storms get really vicious when you have the high humidity and rain, thunderstorms. You can get some very severe warning and weather, and we saw that yesterday with tornado warnings, actually. And I believe there's
a
couple.
That. Where were the tornadoes yesterday?
They were more southern Minnesota, but yes, there were. I believe there was actually a minor touchdown of a tornado last night. And the reason that I know this is I was interrupted last night for a weather warning by Dave Dahl during The Bachelorette. And my frustration isn't alone. There is an article today, Bachelorette fans unhappy show interrupted by KSTP weather guy Dave Dahl. So a lot of people upset over interrupting The Bachelorette for these severe weather interruptions. So I had to laugh at that, being the reporter of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, for AM 950. I am the correspondent for Bachelor Nation here at the station. And yes, I was interrupted last night as well.
We got to get you on The Bachelorette at some point.
Yeah, that would be a mess.
So, a funny note, you brought up weather interrupting The Bachelorette. I don't know if you saw this a few months ago where I think an Ohio station did the same thing. And when the meteorologist came back on, he actually called out the fans. He was saying, hey, I'm doing this to try to stay safe. People need to know this. He was actually getting mad on air because he was seeing these tweets calling him out saying, don't interrupt The Bachelor or whichever.
Yeah. Oh, people get very upset about things like this.
I think he actually got suspended for a couple days by management for getting so angry on the air.
Yeah. Bachelor Nation can get very, very passionate. But the interruption was a 11-minute long one. So pretty, that's a noticeable interruption. That's quite a lengthy one. So people were upset, and rightly so, but kind of hysterical responses too from Bachelor Nation. But
just admit, I was following your Twitter feed. Every 2 minutes, there was a tweet saying, why is Dave Dahl on the screen? You had a tweet storm going, but you deleted them all now.
Tweet storm. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could be on The Bachelor. It is just, it's just a mess. Like, it's so, like, that's so unnatural. How could you be in that situation? And it seems exhausting at the same time, too. Going on one date is hard enough and just tolling, but then having 20 and then they're all living together and feuding. That is just absolute chaos.
I know enough about the show. We're going on those group dates. If you have to date a woman, but then you're with like eight other guys.
Yeah. Oh, the move is always to, can I steal him for a second?
Oh, that-
they all do that and they just hover around. But let's get off of The Bachelor. Just look for my podcast on The Bachelor. That's probably going to be coming soon. No plans, but yeah, that will probably happen.
Oh, it's not going to be Mission something. We need another name for it.
Rose? Yeah, I don't have it yet.
Not a Mission Accomplishers, yeah.
But we're going to continue on the topic of Matt's show and racism. Trump's racism, the right wing in America today and their kind of identitarian ways. Ilhan Omar and her feud with Tucker Carlson, and just several other areas of race and racism. And in fact, here in Minnesota, we have quite a few stories that align with the topic. I've covered on Mission Accomplishers the past few weeks, Cheers in Minneapolis. Cheers is a gay bar where the owner has several anti-Semitic posts online and has doubled down on those posts since they've come to light, wishing for Israelis to be killed, saying that Hitler didn't do a good enough job at disposing of Jewish people. He's opening a gay bar at the old Rudolph's location, and there's been a whole ton of stuff going on with that, as well as Club Jaeger, if you remember, closed down a couple years ago because the owner of that bar, it came to light that he was a donator to David Duke, the former wizard of the Ku Klux Klan and politician. And that bar has also reopened this week. So there's some racial tension here in the Twin Cities. I mean, to say the least, racial tension. But with the president and his recent tweets and his history of racial dog whistles, we're going to take a look at that. So if you want to call, give us a ring at 952-946-6205. I'd like to hear from some of you conservative listeners as well, actually. What was his name? Dan, who called Matt's show at the end?
Dan and Hopkins, yep.
Dan, if you're listening, give us a call at 952-946-6205. I want to dive into it a bit more with you or any of our other right-wing listeners.
Randy.
Yeah. Randy, feel free to give us a call. Because let's talk about Donald Trump. And is Trump a racist? Because I'm sensitive on the issue of race just because of my background and how I was raised. However, I have been recently kind of paying attention to the framing of the dialogue that we have on the left and the Democratic Party and the presidential race and how we characterize right-wingers as racist kind of right off the bat and dismiss things because of it. And I fear that that is not effective for influencing people to vote for our party. While racism shall always be condemned and not allowed, we should always call it out when it occurs. I just want to have a bit of a discussion on calling people racist and what is viable, what's tactical, what's wrong, what's right. Let's dive into this a bit more and have an open mind on the left as well as the right. So I encourage you to call and join the conversation at 952-946-6205, and we'll take a look at race in America. But Donald Trump, his candidacy was launched in a very polarizing, racially distinct manner. If you remember in 2015, as he rode down the escalator and went on to call Mexicans rapists and drug dealers and really paint a picture for how he was going to carry his campaign from that moment on. As well as the man Donald Trump, his history of kind of having an insensitivity to race for a long time. He, during Barack Obama's birther controversy, Trump engaged in language at that time that was very, very teetering on racist remarks. And the thing is, you guys nailed it earlier. No one wants to be referred to as a racist these days. It is clear that racism and being a racist is bad and negative, and no one wants to be referred to as one other than the cross-burning Ku Klux Klan, alt-right Charlottesville types. But that is a very, very small minority of the American public. That is, we're talking about a fraction of a percent of people who want to be known as a racist. Otherwise, the overwhelming majority do not want to be referred to as a racist. So we've changed in that regard. People understand that tolerance is needed. And that goes just all across the board. Every single person, whether you're in rural America, urban America, suburban America, there is a general understanding that I don't want to be seen as a racist.
And I was going to say, oh, go ahead, Hunter.
No, yeah. Keep going. No,
I was going to say, it does hurt when you're called racist or if you say a racist thing. It kind of surprises you and you do naturally get defensive. But I would, I would tell you, it's tough sometimes if you've said something controversial or something off color. Just stop and think for a second. Wait a second. Is that actually racist? It takes some self-awareness and also some humility to actually admit that, you know, what I said, or am I defending someone who's racist, to admit that it actually was racist? Because you naturally want to get defensive and say, there's no way I'm racist.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's seen as a negative, when you're called out on it, you immediately jump to defending yourself and negating that you could possibly be a racist. And that is something that we have to work on as an individual and our own self-development. However, on the left, I wonder, this call-out culture we have during a presidential race, does it go too far? And I say that, though, with a definite asterisk of it is required. Racism should not be tolerated on any level. However, the way that we engage in it, I feel, is kind of a... it's a hard thing to kind of pinpoint as black and white and what's acceptable and what's not. So I feel that there needs to be a discussion about it, because there's a lot of people, like working class people, blue collar people, your traditional Democratic voter, who might not have the nuanced way to speak on like race or gender, and has actual good intentions. And then there's the people who have more subconscious hatred or prejudice over race. I saw this a lot with my family, and when my mom moved to North Minneapolis after a divorce, she dated African-American males, and my family immediately took the side of my dad. I'm talking about her side of the family kind of went towards him as the good person simply because race was introduced to the family. So these are people that don't consider themselves racist, but when it came into their life, they still had a reaction to it. So that's a trickier thing to address. But I don't know if call-out culture is the way to grow in that area, because, like you pointed out, when you're condemned on something, you usually go further into your already held beliefs because you want to justify that you're not wrong. So what is the tactical way to discuss some of these things? I think we'll start by talking with some of our conservative callers. But let's take a break before we go to the phones. We got Randy on hold. We'll get right to him after the break here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Sewer Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And we're talking about Donald Trump. Is he a racist? What does it take to grow with our racial prejudice here in America? Is call-out culture the way to go about it? Or is there a better way to have a dialogue about race and racism? And how do we grow and evolve on the topic? We're taking calls at 952-946-6205. And let's go to the calls. Randy is in Coon Rapids. And Randy, what do you think about Trump? Is he a racist?
I don't think he is. I think a huge part of the two of the major problems we have with racism is, one, so many people are running around out there yelling racism, racism, and I would venture to say that those people that are running around saying that have no idea what the meaning behind racism even is, I think is one of the biggest problems. And not everything is racist. They don't even tell the whole side of the story of what was going on with this as far as Ilhan Omar and the whole content, everything. If they would have just listened and to what she said, she's been running around and complaining about things about America and this and that is wrong. And what Donald Trump said, if she basically saying, you should go back to your own country where they have a lot of problems and stuff, figure out how to fix that, then come back here and tell us how you did it there, and then maybe we, if we have those problems here, you could apply them to here. How in anything in that sentence that Donald Trump said is racist? I'd love for somebody to point that out, especially your prior host, to say what about what racism is if I call you on something because of your race, because you're black or you're white. And I hear another host on this station calling out white all the time, talking about, well, because you're white this and you're white that. That, to me, sounds like racism. It should not matter if you're black or if you're white or anything. We're all human beings. We're not white. We're not black. So But when I look at someone and say, you're this or that because you're black or because you're Mexican or because you're Asian, that to me is racism. I'm saying you're this because of that your skin is black.
So,
and I don't hear that. So I would love for someone to explain that to me. What about what Donald Trump said was racist?
The part about, well, first of all, that comment, that's a very tall order to go back to your own country, fix those problems of Somalia, too, by the way. Just go fix Somalia and then come here and fix those problems. I mean, that's a very tall order to give someone. But
I would agree.
The idea of go back to where you belong is the problem. That's the problematic area of saying that you don't belong here. There's an implication of that, because why would Ilhan Omar go back to Somalia and do anything? This is her home. So why is that brought up?
My question there would be is, because Ilhan Omar was from Somalia, she's now here in America, she's in Congress, and she is saying that there's problems here and that should be fixed, and a lot of people here probably wouldn't maybe agree with the problems that she thinks are here, and basically not go back to where you belong, go back to the, because she's from there, that's where she was born, that's where she was raised, and there's a lot of problems in Somalia. So what would be the problem with, if I said to you, Hunter, you're from Mankato, Minnesota, and Mankato has all these problems, why don't you go back to Mankato and help the people that you were born and raised around with fix their problems? Then you come back here to whatever city I'm in, and you could help try to fix those problems.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, her job, she was chosen by the people to go to Washington, represent Minnesota's 5th District, and help the problems facing America. That is what she's here to do. It doesn't make any sense to go back to Somalia at all, a place that she hasn't been since a child. So, and this was also written about four different new congresspeople, three of which were from America and have never been from a foreign country. So another problematic area of that statement specifically is the implication that they are foreigners just because they look different, have darker skin. Lumping people together that way, that's kind of insensitive. It's not really an informed remark. So you can see that there's some ignorance in the statement. Like, regardless of how you feel about Donald Trump, this, I don't think anyone would say, is one of his strongest points he's ever made, correct?
I would agree with you, Hunter, on the statement. I think it came out of frustration from Donald Trump. And realistically, Ilhan Omar, should you go back to Somalia and try to fix that? That is, I agree 100%. You probably shouldn't have said that statement, because it is kind of a ridiculous statement. She's not going to go back to Somalia and try to fix anything. She lives here now. She's an American citizen. That just seems ridiculous to go do that. And I would agree with that, the fact that he shouldn't have said it. It was kind of stupid and far out there. Was it racist? I don't think it was racist at all. I mean, I think that was about as racist as me telling you the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
All right.
That's where I'm kind of at that. I just don't see it. Well, I think a lot of things out here are not racism. I think people are wanting to use that, and that's what I guess infuriates me, is that because there is racism, and when people take stuff and try to make it something that it's not, now you're just basically taking what it is, and you're making it that much less. And that's what I think. That's what frustrates me, because racism is horrible, and if you take the fact that my grass is green and tell me that that's racist, you're just taking the word racism, and that's when I hear it now, and I think
absolutely, Randy, I'm with you right there, but I want to get to some of these other callers, but I also agree. You water down terms, they start to not mean anything. We've seen that with calling Barack Obama socialist. That really made the word a lot less loaded. And when you do that with fascism, calling people Nazis, calling people racist, you start to water down the terms and they start to blur together and not mean anything. So I agree with you on that point. Overall, I think a bit of a productive conversation on the tweet specifically, and seeing how there kind of was some problematic phrasing there, even with Randy and Coon Rapids. So
Trump never has said that to a white person either. Go back to your own country. Mm-hmm.
If there was a white person who was an actual immigrant, would he speak the same way? Certainly not if there was a Republican. But
And why was he mad? Because they wanted to change the country, is what Randy was saying about Omar and the squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Trump's entire campaign was criticizing America? That's exactly what Make America Great means.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the country right now.
Yeah, I know. It's so odd when there's a sensitivity to criticism from a place where you're trying to improve the country. When you're criticizing America or how it's set up because you love America and you want it to reach its full potential, I never understand when there's a sensitivity to pointing out flaws with something that you care about. Let's go to CJ in Bloomington, who wants to talk about the topic. CJ, it's good to have you.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good, very good. And to piggyback on what Randy said, who you just talked with,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's racist at all. I think that when you tell somebody that something that they don't like for instance, I'm a parent, and I love my kids, but I don't like everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't like everything that your kids do. But when you get that phone call at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, what gets you out of bed to go help them? Love. You know, you might be mad as heck at what they just did to get you out of, to break you out of your sleep. But because you love them, you're going to go and save them. So when a person says that you don't love the country, that's going way out of the realm of the argument, because if they didn't love the country, they wouldn't care.
Oh, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other part to it is that when you take the N-word, which the people that I'm around, we use this word all the time. And we use it so much to where it doesn't have any validity. But when the white people say it, they get mad at them for saying it. And the reason why they get mad at white folks for saying it is because white people won't say it to each other like the way we say it to each other. If they take the word and use it to themselves, and call themselves the same way we do it, then it would lose its validity.
Mm-hmm.
See, because the word came from white people. It was a word that white folks called black folks in a derogatory manner. And black folks just flipped the script and just started using it as a casual thing, like it doesn't have any validity. But when white folks started calling themselves that same word, that meant that when somebody else, white, told somebody else that those are niggas over there, then they'd be saying, well, you a nigga too. He goes, well, damn, okay then. Then it's not no big deal. It's lost its value.
And I think
that's good
that it has been taken and that word isn't used nearly as often by white people, partially because it's been pointed out that this isn't okay. And the way that black people have stripped it of its meaning is ultimately a good thing and taken away the power, because white people used to have power saying this to black people, and now the tables have been turned. So that, in my eyes, is a positive thing for a marginalized group to be able to kind of flip the switch and go, no, you can't do things like this. You can't have language.
Well, you still can. What I'm saying is that when white people have thick skin enough, because when you find the white people that hang out with black people on a regular basis, they say the same thing too.
Hey, Derek, I
they
was
do.
Again,
all right.
You know what I'm saying? So they kind of like deal with their environment.
Well, CJ, I really appreciate the call, and thank you for bringing that up. That is an interesting point. I never understand white people who want to say that word, who just long and don't understand why they don't have the right to say it. That bothers me so much. And I see it and they're like, why can they say it, but I can't? It's like, why do you want to say
that? That's
a
great segment. They should go back and listen to what CJ said. Mm-hmm. I think he gave a great explanation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a just a the way the tables have turned on that word is a demonstration of power and being able to take away something that was used as a slur for hundreds of years and have it now be almost an endearing word towards friends. It's got a lot of uses, but it's now in the hands of the African-American community and white people are excluded from that. Ultimately a good thing in my eyes, but let's take a break. We got phone lines full, so be patient, but we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
You know what's cool? Summer is cool. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning also thinks it's cool too. Well, be cool in the summer. That's why Standard is giving you $900 in savings on a ductless unit or air conditioning system now through the end of July. Just imagine having reliable cooling comfort all summer long for years to come. So contact Standard or go to standardheatingdeals.com to learn how you can save $900 on a new AC system. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Racial tension is popping up in unexpected places, but it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can reduce the awkwardness and the tension. What can we do? Join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. for a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, a nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate the tension in any conversation, like in the Chaska School District. This is part of the Tuesday Dialogue Series at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. The Big Red Rockers out front, 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by Residents Organized Against Racism and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at chaskachurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Hey, everybody out there at AM 950 Radio Land. This is your host, Paul Metza of the Wall of Power Radio Hour. This weekend, we feature a great songwriter, originally from Iowa, but Minneapolis in it for a long time now. Mr. Doug Collins has a new record out called Good Sad News. We play several tracks off the record. Talk to Doug about his recent trip to Spain, songwriting influences, and more. Wall of Power Radio Hour, Saturday at 6 on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And during the break, you heard a commercial for an event at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, which is my church, about the topic at hand and how to have conversations on race and racism. Really a guide, a toolbox that you will be provided after attending this dialogue series on how to have constructive discussions on race and how to really be able to get down to the nitty-gritty, have some tactical skills when seeing racism occurring around you or just diving into the topic and really being able to evolve on it. So that's happening Tuesday, July 30th, Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska. You can go to chaskachurch.org for more information. It's at 7 p.m. It's for one, I can't remember the address, but just go to Chaska Church. Yes, the red rocking chair out front. Big red rocking chair. You can't miss it, as well as a rainbow flag hanging on the flagpole. That is what initially drew me into the church, is I knew that it was different than the kind of Christianity that I pictured really my entire life. I had a prejudice against church and Christianity for a long time in my life because I thought it was just a means for prejudice and a way to hate on groups of people, a way to influence the law with gay marriage, abortion. However, I learned that that's not always the case. So I'm very grateful to find this church, which all the sermons, interestingly, at this church are based on Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. So that's the foundation of the church's teachings and the sermons, and then related to Jesus and the Bible. But very interesting to have the Martin Luther King aspect when learning about things. So check it out on a Sunday if you like, or attend Tuesday, July 30th. It's going to be great. Tuesday dialogue series. But we've been taking calls about race, racism, Donald Trump. Is he a racist? Recent remarks about Ilhan Omar and AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and the newly elected progressive women in the House. Problematic comments, we dissected that, but we're also getting down to racism in our own lives and how it's presented to us and how we handle it. So let's go to the phones. Jeff in Minneapolis wants to talk about what Randy said. Jeff, it's good to have you.
Good to be on the show. And, you know, when it comes down to the end of the day, when you are president of the United States, and this is what Randy fails to realize, you hold the high office, you take the high road. Was it racism? 100%? No. But I'll give it 40%. And the other 60% is Trump is, he hates women. Mm-hmm. He called out three women of color, and there's plenty of white males that have disagreed with Trump. Trump, personally, I believe is a racist. He's a woman hater. He mocks handicapped people. Does Randy support that? Wow. But my main thing is, when you're president of the United States, you do not make those kind of tweets. Trump is nothing but a clown. He's a fool of the whole world. And it'll be a miracle, I believe, with this new investigation that he's under. This is just a distraction. Trump, every time he gets underneath an investigation, he likes to put a little sideshow on to distract the people, to get Fox News and the minions to say, you know, Let's not worry the fact that we got the most corrupt president in the history of this nation in office.
Yeah,
but then they start playing this race card.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. We got to get through some of these calls. There's so many people calling, leaving voicemails. Quick, though, I want to touch on one thing. It is interesting that the thing about how people make racist remarks these days, or dog whistle remarks, are that it's vague enough to have plausible deniability. And that's what's going on with Trump and this the Ilhan Omar remarks, is that it's not quite out-and-out racist. So supporters can easily brush off any sort of racial tension associated with it, because it's like, well, he didn't say it outright. And that's how racism has manifested today around the country. It's hidden. It's not out front and blatant. It's this not talked about silent beliefs in people's heads. So that's what I want to really chip away at. And I don't know the best way, because when you just say Trump's a racist out and out like that, people who support Trump or Republicans turn off right then. They discount what you're going to say because you're coming from a place of absolute. They're also going to go, well, I don't believe that, so I'm not going to listen. Do you see that problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, if you call someone racist, you're probably going to shut down. I mean, if someone were to come up to me and say, what you just said is racist, I would probably be taken aback and naturally defend myself when, as I said, you got to just kind of step back and actually examine what you said, or if you're defending someone, what they said. But I think what you're talking about, we almost need another term for that indirect racism,
yeah,
where there's
right.
plausible deniability. That's a good way to put it right there, where you can say something, but
yeah,
you can possibly deny that it was racist.
Yeah, because the word racist has become so negative. And like we talked about, no one wants to be referred to as one, and no one wants to believe that they are one. However, people have prejudice that are less intense. I mean, there's a spectrum here. You got David Duke, KKK racist on one end, but then you have just kind of an average person who says some remarks about Somalians in their everyday life that definitely aren't out burning crosses, but are still categorizing people by race and have prejudice because of that. And how do we address these things? And right now you can't talk about it because it's so strongly believed on the left that Donald Trump is a racist, and for good reason. I mean, those beliefs are backed up by countless statements that align with that. However, people on the right don't take that as a definitive as we do. So conversations immediately hit a roadblock, and your idea of a term would be useful. How do you get that started? But very interesting idea, because that's what's going on right now. We're in an era of hidden racism, not what typically has been seen in America with the loud signs and segregation, but a area of silence.
Do you even think it would be possible to come up with a term in this day and age with social media? Because I feel like it would be immediately made fun of and actually embraced by people on one side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
A la deplorables or...
That's what's difficult. Yeah. Although things do pick up steam still. It is hard. We've seen with Latin people for... The term has been changed to Latinx rather than Latino, Latina. And that, for the most part, has been successful. But there was a lot of pushback on that even, and ridicule, like you're saying. People are very resistant to change when it comes from a area of social justice. They do not like it. And you've got people with megaphones that really scream foul anytime you try and do something in a regard like that. You've got the talking heads that build careers on just hating social justice and making white people feel like they're persecuted. In fact, actually, Donald Trump has said some things in that regard back before he was president, back in the 80s. So problematic statements like this are things that we should kind of take into note when trying to ask the question if he is a racist. But in 1989, Trump said, "I think sometimes a black may think they don't have an advantage or this or and that. And I've said on one occasion even about myself, if I were starting off today, I would love to be a well-educated black because I really believe they do have an actual advantage." So, I mean, that's his own statement. And just reading that, how I had to stop.
It's cringeworthy.
Yeah. Hesitate that it's like, what? Really? A black.
Even for 1989, yeah. That's pretty out there.
So he's got a long history of this. I've got a whole sheet of similar Trump statements on race throughout his life. But things like that are a bit more glaring, that you are clearly making a distinction based on race and saying that there is problems. And that's a bit different than what we've been talking about. But nevertheless, let's go to the phones. Gary, it's in Minneapolis. He's always got good stuff for us. Gary, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about this racial race baiting and racial scapegoating that Trump is the worst I've ever seen at, especially in the White House, is horrible, without combining it with what goes hand-in-hand with it. That's fascism. You know, Hubert Humphrey warned years ago there's always been strains of fascism, American fascism, in this country. And later on, much later on, John Dean, who was part of the Watergate fiasco, he warned about many Republicans and their allies to authoritarianism. And that's just as scarier because these two things work together. And we're in a lot of danger in this country with what's going on. And, you know, Mussolini described fascism as when you have corporations and government together with constant war. And what does that remind you of? It reminds me of something that's going on right here.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for the call, Gary. Spot on. Mussolini is a good comparison with Donald Trump. They do govern kind of the same way, same rhetoric. Mango Mussolini is how I've heard Trump referred to as, and makes sense.
That's a more effective term, I think, to use, too, because, again, it shuts down conversation if you see Trump as Hitler.
Yes, yes. It's a good, that's a good point.
Or if you say he's a Nazi right away, mm-hmm. You're not going to have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah, much more loaded. If you do go into a authoritarian dictator and compare that way based on actual policies, how they approach things, you can have a better conversation on it rather than going straight to the Nazi, straight to the Hitler, because that is obviously the most extreme example. Let's go to Mark and Fridley. I'm sure he's got thoughts on the issue. Mark, it's good to have you.
Yeah, let's go to the Mussolini quote of Ted Cruz, who said he didn't want to be the one to be holding Mussolini's coat. So go back to the quotes from Newt Gingrich, from Mitch McConnell, from the Bushes, from Paul Ryan in 2015 and 2016, and what they referred to Donald Trump as being a sexist, a bully, a racist, a misogynist. Donald Trump is perfectly willing to destroy the country and the world to maintain his own power. And people have to understand what's really going on here. You would think, or I once thought, everyone wants to hear the truth. They don't. People, when you don't want to see, you will not see. To make a comment like that, now three of those people were born in the country. And I just want to point out something too real quickly, that all of this vitriol and hate by the right and Trump against the women's soccer team, yet I didn't hear any of that when the Golden State Warriors refused to show up to the White House twice. And what's going on here is this. This is creation. This is a psyop. This is divide and conquer. The oligarchs are the people that are dividing us and fighting amongst ourselves over simple things, and we are not getting the point. We are going through the same point of history from the Civil War.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the call, Mark. That spot on right there. A very good point, too, on the method of distraction used by what they focus on. Because really, if you looked at the world through the lens that Fox News and right-wing media echo chambers portray, you'd think that the whole country is being overrun by trans athletes and Antifa and women's sports are the decay of modern American society because they focus on the strangest things and cause such a hysteria around them. I had someone in my life talk to me because of my bumper stickers and immediately go to, well, you guys are violent. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, you and your friends, they're violent Antifa people. And I go, when have you encountered an Antifa in your own life? And they go, well, I guess I haven't. And I go, precisely. It's not an actual problem. It's a problem that is manufactured by the media and amplified to exponentially higher levels than is actually occurring to get you upset. But shocking that... That's what people think we need to worry about. Let's go to Randy in St. Cloud quick. We have just a minute. Randy?
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to give the other Randy view. You learn your values from home, and if you look into the history of Donald Trump's father and his real estate empire, he got fined all the time because he wouldn't rent to black people. So
He did.
Sorry, that's how you learn it. And he always wanted to try and impress his dad, and he never quite could because he kept messing it up.
Yeah, Randy, good point. And there's Donald Trump Sr., or Fred Trump is his name, had a terrible racial history. A lot of trouble for not renting to people of color. A lot of very racist housing policies. Look up Fred Trump. Very bad past. That is the cloth that Donald is cut out from. But anyways, that was a good conversation, I feel. I'll be back here tomorrow with Eric for your Miracoles with the Muchachos on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. But in the meantime, go to YouTube. Check out the AM950 YouTube, it's AM950 Radio, as well as Mission Accomplishers, Mission Accomplishers Radio on YouTube. That's all for today. See ya.